Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And I like to think of this as we change the lens through which we look at the world. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today, or at least we're going to be touching upon that idea, because of course I say, hey, this is Everyday Astrology, but you know, we talk tarot. We talk, you know, different metaphysical concepts and spiritualities. We talk about a lot of stuff. And that's just who I am. Even though astrology is the tool that I just absolutely love, there are so many lenses through which we can see our lives and see the world. And I like to touch upon those. I've studied many of them, you know, and I bring them up from time to time. But it also is good to just remember that we're looking through lenses. You know, sometimes we forget that. It's like wearing a pair of glasses. And, you know, you're not even thinking about wearing the glasses. And sometimes, I mean, at least I'm speaking for myself, I forget that that's the lens that I'm looking through. And it, to me, it's really worth shaking that up. Just being very intentional and purposeful about what are the lenses that I'm looking through. So, first things first, we have a couple of announcements here today, and I want to just quickly remind you that there's a new class starting on 1-2 Academy tonight. It's Awaken the Divine Within You, An Extraordinary Journey Beyond the Tarot. This is with Kat Nicholson. And of course, I'm not going to go through the whole spiel. I know many of you have been hearing about it. You know, Kat is a phenomenal, I consider her brilliant. I really do. I've worked with her for a long time, and I'm just amazed at her accuracy, her clarity. And of course, it comes from a number of places. But one of her favorite tools is the Tarot. And so I would really encourage you to look into that, if only because, once again, it's another lens. You may look at it and go, not my tool, not my lens. But I think back on years ago, I had already been practicing astrology for a long time, and I had met Mark Hessen, you know, had gone into his bookstore to get a few supplies, and they were offering a 12-week course in astrology. And of course, I'm like, well, I don't need a 12-week course in astrology. I'm an astrologer. I've been practicing for at least a decade. But I was new in the area. And I thought, you know what, it would be really cool to meet some other people. So why don't I take this class and I could get to know Mark and John a little bit better, and I could get to know some people. So I took the class. And true to course, this is what happens to me all the time, by the way, guys. I learned so much in that class. I was blown away. So here I am thinking, hey, I've been doing this for a decade. What could I possibly need to know at this point? And they just completely blew me away with all the different things that I'd never thought about. And that was maybe the best takeaway from the class, was that there's different reasons to get involved in things, to look at things. And sometimes we may think, oh, I don't need to learn that. I don't need to be involved. But maybe it's a person you're going to meet. Maybe there's another reason for you doing this, but certainly to always just stay curious, to stay interested. And, you know, to this day, I buy lots of tarot cards. Now, I go through periods where a year or two, I haven't bought a single one. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I want some new pictures. I want a new lens. I want to stir things up a little bit. So if you're interested in taking a class on 1-2 Academy and from Kat, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity. And it will be a weekly class where you can, you know, get into it. You don't have to be there every week. I mean, the other thing that I think is great about 1-2 Academy, which has been true since the beginning, which hasn't always been true in our culture, which is you get a recording of the class. Now, I know a lot of times now that is really typical, but it didn't used to be. So if you missed the class or you weren't taking notes quick enough, you didn't get a copy of it. And in this case, you will. You will get a recording. So if you're not there, or you just want to go through it again, you will have that recording if you sign up for the class. So I'm big on that. If you're interested, it starts tonight. So if you haven't signed up and you've been thinking about it, you better do it today before it starts. Or I guess you could join late, but anyway. Also, just a shout out to Mark's Power Pink, which I write an article there every week, and a number of my colleagues do too. It's great for looking at what's happening in the week ahead. It's a free newsletter, so please sign up for that or check that out during the week. And I told you, I go back and I read it, and sometimes I'm just like, did I write that? I mean, where did that come from? Maybe just because I've gotten really busy, and it's a good reminder for me. So I go back and read that just to see, you know, where's the moon and what's going on, or to just, you know, trip my mind a little bit. So I also want to invite you to join me in our chat room. That is the 12radio.com group. And the easiest way to get there, I think, is to go to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and it will redirect you to 12radio. And I guess that's what it's called, 12radio on Facebook. And as long as we're talking about Facebook, I also want to shout out to Leslie Ross for the picture that she put in Facebook last week during the show. And the picture was of a sidewalk crack. You know, one of those, I mean, you've seen these kind of pictures before, and you've seen it in life, you know, in a mountain or a sidewalk or whatever. So here's this concrete sidewalk, and there's a little crack in it. And sure enough, this little tiny plant has pushed up through that crack. And then there was a shadow being thrown on the wall next to the sidewalk of a full-grown tree. Now, I so appreciated that because that is the spirit of hope, the spirit of Aquarius, which is what we were talking about last week. And actually, we're talking a little bit about that this week with Aries, with pushing up through whatever. But that kind of image is one that would be really helpful to hold on to, that plant pushing through the crack. And like I said, we've all seen it, right? In fact, for some of us, we're probably looking at patio pavers or something like that and go, why do all these little weeds have to keep coming up? But that is life. That is the spirit of Aquarius and hope, that it doesn't matter what the adversity is, there's always going to be hope and there's going to be life. So, Leslie, thank you so much for posting that picture in Facebook last week. And as I tell you, sometimes multitasking, I can't always get over there and respond to everything as we're doing the show, but I really appreciate your comments, and I do look at them every week. So thank you for that. And anybody who'd like to come over and join me, do that. But I'm going to get back to talking about our show. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So we're going to start, as I promised last week, with something that actually was all queued up. I wanted to talk about this last week on the show, and we didn't have time. But it's something that I think is important, and it kind of goes along with that idea of lenses. You know, how do we look at things? And that is the Lunar New Year, the Spring Festival, the Chinese New Year. Now, it began last Wednesday on the new moon in Aquarius. That was the beginning of the Lunar New Year. However, as many of you know, they celebrate for a couple of weeks. So we're still in time to really be talking about this and thinking about this. And so where I want to go with this is talk, and by the way, we are going to scratch the surface. And this is a very complex and very old system, thousands of years, and it comes out of Chinese astrology, etc. So, and I don't want to malign it by just not giving it its due, but I will admit we're just going to scratch the surface. But in terms of lenses, you know, sometimes when we're kind of looking around, and I don't know about you, but maybe I'm looking for some inspiration. And here again, we're going to have astrologically in the Western system lots of planets in fire this year. Fire is about inspiration. If you've got planets in your chart that are in fire signs, you know that Aries and Sag and Leo, you want to be inspired and you want to inspire other people. That's going to be a phenomena. We're going to get much more into that, the air, the talking, the mental, and wanting to be inspired. So this is a lens that we can look through if we're looking for a little more inspiration. Now, after today, maybe you'll go, oh yeah, I remember 2025, it's the year of the snake, the wood snake. I remember somebody saying that, and maybe that's all it is. But I'm just going to talk about it for just a few minutes so that, you know, maybe it would be something you'd want to come back to. Or maybe there's something that you hear and you say, you know what, I want to remember this. I just want to remember that this is one of the things that I can come back to like a touchstone. So in Chinese astrology, there are 12 animals. And so every year is represented by one of those animals, but also by one of five elements. So here again, there's 60 different combinations of the 12 animals with the five elements, which means that their calendar repeats every 60 years. And that, I'm going to give you a little story because I want to impress this upon you. But like Western astrology, you can't look and say, oh, Saturn was in Pisces, you know, at this time and you know, 39 years ago, and everything is going to repeat exactly. No, that's not how it works, because it's a little more complicated. It's a little more nuanced than that. However, it's useful to sometimes look at those kind of patterns. So in the Chinese calendar, it repeats every 60 years. And years ago, it was the end of August, last week of August in 2001. And I was studying Chinese astrology. I was studying feng shui. I had done that for multiple years and, you know, trying to figure out, can I really supplement, you know, or you know, I wanted to add something maybe to the Western astrology that I was already doing. But to get into the Chinese, I mean, it is complicated. It truly is, very much so. And if you've ever seen a Chinese, kind of what you consider a natal chart, it looks like columns. And the columns at least are in two pieces. So because they actually have two elements for everything. So there's two elements for the day, there's two elements for the year, that sort of thing. And there again, I don't want to get into all the details. But the point is, I'm taking this intensive class in Florida that I had signed up for, where I was learning some astrology, I was learning some feng shui, and it was all coming together, and you know, from literally Chinese teachers. It was a wonderful, wonderful intensive, met some wonderful people, had a great time. But I'm sitting in this one class where it's fairly new to me in terms of how to use this Chinese astrology, very much the way we use Western, you know, by dissecting the different pieces and even using it for prediction. And this is like, this particular class was 2 days of the week, so it was pretty heavy duty. But in any case, it's the very end of August 2001, and the teacher is saying, okay, this is a year of metal standing on top of fire. And he gives several examples of how that manifests in the world with metal standing on fire. But then he's also emphasizing the idea that if you want to look at some things, you can go back 60 years and look at what was happening. So mentally, I'm calculating in my head, okay, let's see, it's 2001. 60 years ago was 1941. Well, the first thing that comes into my mind is the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Well, I will admit, the minute I thought that, I kind of looked at that teacher and I said, yeah, like that's going to go, you know, going to happen. And so that automatically was bringing out the cynic in me, because I was thinking, I don't know, you know, this, I don't know how I feel about this. But then, less than 2 weeks later, I'm at home, back at home, and I'm watching television, and I'm watching the World Trade Center imploding after it was bombed. And my very first thought was, oh my God, this is 1941 repeating, at least on some level. Now, obviously not on the same level, but I bring that up because I'll tell you, one of the other words that came to me was respect. And what I mean is respect for the various tools, the various lenses that we use to look at our worlds. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to go, oh yeah, that one is as valid as something else. Like for instance, there are several tools I just do not use. They have never worked for me. They have never proven to be valid. And not because they're not valid, but because they're not my tools. I can't use them like other people can use them. So it just made, it gave me this feeling of respect. Respect even things that you don't know. If it's somebody else's belief system, somebody else's lens, at least give it a chance. But it certainly did that for me for the Chinese astrology, recognizing that it had so much depth and there was so much that I had yet to learn. And I've told you before, I actually quit studying it because after 2 or 3 years, I recognized how really complicated it was. And I thought, you know what? I love Western astrology. And there's so much more that I can learn in Western astrology. And I just I knew I couldn't do justice to the Chinese version. So I quit studying it and found somebody who wanted all those books and, you know, even the Chinese ones. And I gave them away to somebody that I thought could really use them. But in any case, I bring up 1965 because there again, maybe there are some things that we can look at and say, what does 1965 have to teach us about what's going on in 2025? So in the United States, I'll just remind you quickly, two of the things that came right up when I Googled it, which I think is interesting, is that was the year of the Social Security Act. It's actually called the Social Security Act of 1965. That was also a time when there were many, many civil rights marches and demonstrations that led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And of course, it's very interesting because of how those two things are really being attacked and dismantled at this point. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if they'll be replaced. I don't know if they'll really be dismantled or if it'll be a situation where they get stronger. But just like I said, it's just a lens that you can look at and say, how does this correspond? How might this kind of energy come back around? But remembering that the circumstances are not the same. It's not going to just be a repeat. That's not the way it works. Some of the other things that were going on was the Vietnam War was very pervasive, you know, and an ongoing issue. And of course, we certainly see that in our world where these wars just continue and continue and continue. The space race was really an obsession, not only in the United States, but certainly in Russia. So those are some of the highlights. Those are some of the big stories. But there again, if you want to do a little homework or if that's intriguing or interesting to you, then you might go and say, hey, I want to see what was going on in 1965 that could actually be instructive, that could actually be interesting right now to me. But there again, just use it as a lens. That's all you have to do, you know? And that's up to you whether or not you want to do that. All right. So I'm going to go through just a few things that are true about this year, snakes and the wood element. And here again, these are things that you can, you know, you can do your own study and you can look at different things going on. But I'm just going to give you some of those. You know, I like to have lots of options. So I'm going to give you some of the words, some of the characteristics, some of the qualities that we might expect are really good for this year. When I say really good, what I mean is, you know, when you're going with the flow, then things seem to work better. And in some ways you can look at snakes, and I'll tell you, my first thought is, you know, snakes are not exactly my favorite creatures, but that doesn't mean that there aren't some characteristics that I can really kind of grab onto and think about. So snakes, according to the Chinese and how they play out in a particular year, they're intelligent, they're mysterious, independent, graceful, intuitive, stealthy, ambitious, wise, adaptable, innovative, strategic, reflective, subtle, purposeful, and precise. Snakes know how to go around and over and overcome obstacles. And another quality that is so important is that they routinely shed their skins. So they're associated with transformation and renewal and with healing. And I think we see a lot of that as possible this year, no matter what the lens is that we're looking through. If we're looking through a lens of tarot, if we're looking through a lens of Western astrology, you're going to see some kind of crosswalks here with that kind of energy. But as we can be adaptable as we can be innovative and strategic, really plan things out and be precise and purposeful, we will excel in this particular year. So think about some of those things. Don't just think about a snake slithering through the grass, but think about how some of those qualities might be useful. Maybe one or two of them or something you go, you know what, I really want to pull that into my life. Now, the wood element itself is associated, as you would think, with accelerated growth. Now, here again, the little plant pushing up through the cement, just accelerated growth with plants and trees. You know, there's sun and everything is blooming and coming about. Now, this is a little contradictory, but the wood element is also associated with slow and steady progress and growth. But the idea is always growth and expansion, renewal, change and rebirth, vitality. So there again, I think that's a good thing for healing or for, you know, just renewing ourselves and feeling better, you know. So if you're looking for some kind of, you know, a healing or just, you know, changing yourself in some way, just feeling more vital in your life, this is a good year. And wood is also, very much like the snake, associated with careful and organized planning, patience, and strategizing. Wood also, one of the things I think about the wood element is right timing. Being ready to make your move at the right time. And maybe when you least expect it. But just like the plant that's growing, you know, you can't pick the apples, you know, when there are flowers on the tree. You know, you've got to have right timing with the wood element. It teaches us about right timing. It teaches us about relationships and certainly personal growth, building something from the ground up. So you might just want to think about how these elements and you know, the snake and it's winding around and it's doing its thing and it's crawling through the garden, whatever images might help you or, you know, that appeal to you, you might just want to come up with those or just remember them from time to time. But even if you just kind of forget this as soon as, you know, we're off the air today, this is just a glimpse, and it's just a lens. You may like it, you may not, but you don't have to go any deeper if you don't want to. But I would ask you to just try to remember, this is a year for intentional and patient growth, for renewal and transformation, and for integrating intelligence and intuition. And we are very much, as we've talked about, in a transitional space in 2025 and 2026, as we see some of the outer planets really making that move from the earth and water signs to the fire and air. And it is a process. So there again, it's very intentional, but it takes a lot of patience. And we are going to be going to the intelligence, that mental energy from intuition, which is the water. We're blending those. We're putting them together. And I don't think really there's ever a time when we wouldn't want to do that, where we wouldn't want to put those two things together. You know, where we don't have to run always, it's got to be intuitive or it has to be rational. Why can't it be both? That's what I would advocate for. So now let's move back to Western astrology and the cosmic dance for this week, February 3rd. There's two things that are really worth talking about and remembering, or rather, let's just call them the highlights for the week. Venus, the planet of love, the planet of values, changed signs yesterday. She entered Aries. That was on Monday, February 3rd, late last night. So she changed signs. So we're going to talk about that. Tomorrow, Wednesday, February 5th, Jupiter moves direct. Now, what that has to do with is Jupiter has been retrograde since October 9th. So, you know, some of those planets, they do retrograde for 4, sometimes even 5 months at a time. So Jupiter's been retrograde for months in Gemini. Gemini is a communication sign. It's ruled by Mercury. So what are we going to find out when Jupiter goes direct and it really starts moving back? You know, what we see right now actually is Jupiter looks like it's still. It's motionless in the sky, which can also be pretty profound. So you may be getting messages. There may be omens coming in. There may be things that are repeating messages or something that just kind of finally comes into view. So pay attention to that. And that's, you know, I think mostly what we need to do in life anyways, just be the observer. What's happening for you? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? So communications this week will pick up, I hope, in a positive way. But also, I would just say this week to me seems very noisy. But I want you to know it's really a combination of astrological phenomena. It's not just Jupiter in Gemini. We actually have the moon will be in Gemini Wednesday night through early Saturday morning. Now, this is certainly a contributor because often when the moon is in Gemini, we just want to talk, talk, talk. We want to connect. We want to, you know, chat. We want to take a class. You know, it's very mentally stimulating. And so what we find often is when the moon is in Gemini, all of a sudden things really pick up. But also this week, Mercury, the messenger planet, the one that is ruling Gemini, is also making a lot of connections. And of course, it does make a lot of connections because it moves pretty quickly. So it moves from one planet to the next planet to the next. But this week, we literally had, you know, Mercury transiting near or making a connection with, let's see it this way. I'm going to tell you about the planets. But it's in Aquarius to start with. That's a mental sign. And it's very stimulating all on its own. That's just a very provocative kind of sign. So we might find that we're just, you know, our minds are really hyperactive anyway with Mercury in Aquarius, but it interacted with Jupiter yesterday. So there again, that Jupiter that's getting ready to move direct, Mercury came and interacted with it. Mercury will interact with Mars on Friday, with Chiron on Saturday, and with the Sun on Sunday. So see, this is a week where we've got a moon in Gemini. We've got Mercury making all these connections. And Jupiter itself in Gemini is moving direct. So to me, I'm just kind of ready for this to be a loud week or a busy week or a week where lots of stuff is going on. So what I would tell you is be ready to engage. But also, you might be ready with those earplugs because you may not want to hear everything or be involved in every conversation or hear what everybody else is talking about. You know, be prepared to turn the channel or to give yourself a break or to take a recess, whatever it is, to get away if things get really crazy. But if things really pick up and you find all of a sudden you open your phone and you've got 4 missed calls and you've got all these chats and, you know, whatever it is, it could be a very communicative week. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. So now we're going to spend the rest of our time, on Venus. And I would really love to actually spend several shows on Venus. And we are going to talk about her more in a couple of weeks. Now, she changes signs, you know, usually every 3 or 4 weeks. So on one hand, you might be saying, well, why do we need to spend a lot of extra time? We know about Venus. Maybe you don't. But there's a couple reasons I want to talk about her. I would always mention her if she changes signs, which she did yesterday. She moved into Aries. But also the very fact that she moved into Aries is a little important because, or it's like, you know, maybe major important. Once again, we're having this transition in 2025 from water and earth signs to fire and air. So whenever a planet stimulates and moves into one of those signs, even though Venus doesn't stay there very long. I mean, usually her transit, like I said, is about, you know, 23 days or so. It's still, to me, it's like a little prick, like, hey guys, this is coming. Pay attention to when Venus is in Aries because we're going to have Saturn in Aries, Neptune in Aries before we know it. So she might give us kind of a sneak peek into what's going on. But there's another reason that I really want to spend some time on her. And here again, we'll do it in a few weeks. But this particular transit of Venus, she's not going to spend 23 days. She's not going to spend 4 weeks in this sign. This time it's different. And if you read the Power Peak, you know why. Or if you're an astrologer or you're just paying attention, the current transit of Venus in Aries has what I call a hiccup. Because it's going to retrograde. Now, this means that her transit through Aries is actually going to be a two-part process because she's going to go back into Pisces for a while. So she's going to be into Aries, move back into Pisces, and go back into Aries. Now, one of the reasons I pay attention to Venus, you might say, well, all those planets are going retrograde. Everything except the moon and the sun do go retrograde. But Venus is one of two planets that doesn't retrograde every single year. Now think about that. Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, Jupiter, they all retrograde every single year. Mercury retrogrades three times a year. Venus and Mars are the only two planets that do not retrograde every single year. So what happens when something is a little less likely or it's not rare? But when it doesn't happen as often, I do tend to pay more attention to it because it's not exactly something that we expect or it's not something that we get as used to. Now, Venus retrogrades approximately every 18 months. Now, to me, through my astrologer lens, I think it's really interesting that we came into 2025 with Mars retrograde, which we consider to be one of the relationship planets, right? Because Mars really governs how we go out after what we want. It's the sexual side of a relationship. And then Venus, which is in a sense the soulmate, the other planet that we call the relationship planets, it's also going to retrograde this year. And even though they don't retrograde at the same time, in fact, Mars is going to end its retrograde on February 23rd. But it's only less than a week before Venus retrogrades on March 1st. So for those of you who want to know, it's going to retrograde March 1st through April 12th. But like I said, we're going to spend a show, you know, towards the end, well, just in a couple of weeks, really. That show we are going to, you know, I think it's 2 weeks from now, we are going to talk about that retrograde, the week that she does go retrograde. So, but just so that you'll know, she's going to retrograde March 1st through April 12th. Then that retrograde is going to take her back into Pisces from March 27th through April 30th. So see, this really is going to be a two-part thing. And this is something we're going to go into in a few weeks here. Again, spoiler alert. She's also going to connect with Saturn two more times. She's already connected with Saturn once because, see, Saturn's in Pisces. So she's already gone by and touched upon Saturn. That is so important to me because if you talk about relationships, that is the big daddy of them all in some ways, because that to me is the planet of commitment and agreements and promises. So when Venus touches Saturn three different times, I'm paying attention because it says, what are we agreeing to? What are we committing to? So for those of you who may be involved in a relationship that's on the rocks, or possibly you're wanting to get involved in a new relationship, or maybe you are involved in a relationship, that Saturn may have a lot to do with what kind of agreement or what kind of commitment you eventually make. So I'm paying a lot of attention to that. And remember too, Venus has to do with everything we value. It has to do with finances. It has to do with everything we value, what we want to attract in our life. So that Saturn can be our best friend because it can say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to strategize it. It can be very, very useful to us. But to me, it's very important that Venus is going to join Saturn three times. And there again, we're going to talk about it on February 25th. That's the week that Venus moves retrograde. So we'll talk about it on that Tuesday. But for now, those of you who just want to know, Venus will transit through Aries from February 3rd through March 27th. And then after the retrograde pattern, she'll be back in Aries April 30th through June 5th. So see, we're not talking here where ordinarily we're just talking about Venus being in a sign for the next 3 or 4 weeks. That's just not true. So as we look at Venus, this is kind of a refresher. Many times you know this, but sometimes we just need to kind of get it at the top of our consciousness again. So Venus is the planet of values, who, what, how we love, what we find beautiful, what we find valuable, what we find worthwhile. how we magnetize and attract the people, situations, and stuff that we value. And here again, astrology is so much fun and can create an opening for so much tolerance. Because as we look at Venus, it makes us realize why people love all different people or all different sports or all different situations. We're all very different according to where Venus was in our charts when we were born and what sign she was in and what other planets was she playing with at that time. So it's fascinating to just look and see how does she change her clothes, so to speak. If she's on stage, how is she changing her wardrobe depending on the sign that she's in? Now, here's a couple of quotes that I think are very Venus. What you seek is seeking you. That's Rumi. And see, I love that because it's really true. What we seek is seeking us. Here's another one. Love doesn't make the world go round. Love is what makes the ride worthwhile. And see, once again, recognizing that, you know, for some people, something just really trips their trigger. For somebody else, it's like, not so much. Well, if you go back to their astrology chart, you're likely to see at least some of the answers that you're looking for. Why are we so different? Now, I'm not saying Western astrology is a be-all, end-all, but it's so much fun because it can give us so much insight into ourselves and to other people. Now, remember that Venus actually rules Taurus and Libra. You know, Taurus is known for being determined and sensual. Libra for being such a peacemaker, for beauty, for being artistic. Though that's how she naturally is. Those are the signs she naturally rules. She's also, if you want to look at your own chart, she naturally rules the second and the seventh houses of the astrology chart. So that's where you want Venus energy in those particular places in your life. She's the goddess of love and attraction. She represents the yin and the feminine side of love. She rules all those things that we value. Just like we said, ideals, money, clothes, art. You know, she is the ultimate artist. She rules the spiritual and emotional side of sexual energy. You kind of combine her with Mars and you get to know a lot about a person's sexual energy by looking at the spiritual and emotional side with Venus and the more physical side with Mars. She's about creativity and beauty and art and music. She represents our ability to create and appreciate beauty. And there again, if you've ever gone to, which you have, I'm sure, you know, to an art show or to a museum and one person is just oohing and aahing over one thing and somebody else just goes, oh, that's just kind of ugly. You know, it's too abstract or, you know, it's just not appealing to me. That is our Venus. What appeals to us, what we find beautiful and pleasing and attractive. But also think about it, it's how we try to make ourselves attractive. And there again, I mean, if you look at the, you know, sometimes don't you look at somebody and you go, are you trying to attract somebody with that outfit or that hair or whatever? I mean, I just have to laugh and go, really? You know, what is the message that you're sending? Well, we all have different ways of doing that. And once again, you think about those elements. Is it fire? You know, is it, you know, fire is spirit, but fire is also flashy, you know, reds and oranges and yellows and that kind of thing. So when you look at the elements, when you look at how Venus, you know, moves through different signs, then you get a whole different feeling. So what I want you to know, though, is just because you don't have Venus in Aries, it doesn't mean you're not going to be affected during this time when she's in that sign. So remember, this is what love looks like. It's how we interact with other people, who we find lovable and why, what we expect from a relationship and a partner, what we're willing to give in a relationship. It's also our ideal version of feminine energy. What does it look like? It describes our creativity and our artistic talent. And how we do that, you know, what are you attracted to when it comes to creativity? Now, one other thing I'm going to mention is Venus always hangs out pretty close to the sun. In fact, she can never be more than 48 degrees away from the sun. So that's why so often, like even when you hear me talk about people, and I've got a lot of quotes, I don't know if we'll get to them today, but of people who have their Venus in Aries. But the thing is, a lot of those people also have their sun in Aries. Sun is identity. But why is that? Because Venus is never very far away from the sun. So a lot of times those two are hanging out together. So, and in fact, they say it can never be more than two signs, but it's usually not two signs. It's usually in the sign before or after or in the same sign as the sun. So that's why you see that. And also, if you're interested, her color is emerald green, and she's associated with the metal copper Venus is. So those are things you might go, hey, I really want to, you know, when you want to really stimulate your Venus, you may think about those two things, wearing copper, surrounding yourself with copper, or just as a reminder with that emerald green color. Now in Tarot, Venus is associated with the Empress, which is creativity and creation, fertility, receptivity, the life giver. Here again, Venus tends to be the yin receptive side of the equation. But this is why, of course, it's very interesting when she moves into Aries. Because what is Aries? Aries is anything but receptive. It's very external. It's a cardinal sign. And it's a fire sign, like Leo and Sag. So it's about the spirit. It's action-oriented. You know, it's not waiting for something to come to it, which Venus attracts. But now she's going to be in a sign that says, attract, I'm going to go out and get what I want. It's action-oriented. But remember, too, those fire signs, maybe more than anything else, they want to inspire and be inspired. I'm looking for some excitement. I'm looking for something that's going to stir up my passion. That's what I want when a planet is in a fire sign. Now, in this particular case, Aries is also the cardinal fire sign. And so cardinal, that means it's the beginning of the season. Goes right back to that little plant pushing up through the cement. They're innovators, movers, shakers. They start things. They're active, direct, and purposeful. This is external energy, logical, outgoing, left-brained. This is very yang energy. So we have a very yin planet in a very yang sign. And remember, too, that Aries is ruled by Mars. So that makes it an interesting juxtaposition. Because we can also, now this is going a little bit deeper, but we can look and see, well, what's going on with Mars right now? Well, Mars is retrograde. And in a water sign, the sign of family. So will that change or will that alter some of the stuff that's going on with Venus in Aries? Of course it will. So those archetypes that we associate with Aries, the warrior, the ram. And you know, I always think it's funny, people that have a lot of Aries in their charts, if you watch them walk, oftentimes they lead with their heads. I mean, it's so funny. They'll just literally have their heads in front of their body. That's usually a sign of a lot of Aries in somebody's chart or important Aries in their chart. They're pioneers. They're daredevils. They're survivors. And sometimes they're fools because they're willing to take a risk. They're willing to try almost anything. So Aries in the Tarot, it's the Emperor. So actually, here we have that combination of Venus is the Empress and Aries is the Emperor. So, you know, these two ruling kind of people, put it that way, or energies. And what's important to know about the Emperor is he plans and structures and organizes his environment. So once again, this, some people would say this is a difficult place for Venus to be. Other people say there's nothing difficult about this, but just it's just not ideologically a perfect pairing, if you want to think about it that way. But that doesn't mean that we don't really, really enjoy it or that it doesn't bring some really interesting things to us. And mythologically, Aries is Jason and the Argonauts. You know, go out, have an adventure, give life meaning. And what I would say is here's a statement that I think really personifies, or it really describes Venus in Aries. Growth occurs through a path of action and initiation. This is a time when it's like, even if it's more just getting into what you really want, what you really need in your life, this isn't a time when you're waiting for other people to bring it to you. You're initiating, you're adventurous, willful, confident. You want to be impulsive and spontaneous, maybe a little bit competitive, fearless, take a few risks. So what can we expect? Well, Venus will be extroverted, independent, and competitive in Aries. This is the antithesis of feminine, you know, that way that we really expect Venus to be. So for somebody who just really depends on that, or that is their mode of operating, you know, that it could be a little bit difficult, because she rules those sensuous, deliberate signs like Taurus and Libra. But like I said, just because it's not a perfect fit doesn't mean that we're not really going to enjoy it. Because this is that energy of, I'm going to grab, you know, it's like putting on tennis shoes every day. You know, it's like, where am I going to run to today? What am I going to do? You know, what am I going to push through? You know, we want to be the mover and the shaker. We want to be the dominant one. Venus in Aries often tends to be dominant in relationships. So we might find both people in a relationship really trying to say, I'm number one. I'm calling the shots. I'm making the rules. That could happen. We're energetic and motivated. And here's a statement that I find all the time with people that have Venus in Aries. They break the rules. They see themselves as rule breakers. And even when I look at quotes of people that have Venus in Aries, almost always there's something in there about breaking the rules and why that works and why that has to be the way of life. So this is a time of high energy, breaking some rules, maybe arguing. That's the other thing, and it always kind of brings a smile to my face. Venus in Aries, or actually any planets in Aries, but Aries loves to argue. You know, they like to break up the routine by stirring things up. And I've even seen them sometimes, they're arguing about something they don't even believe. They're just doing it to stir things up because they think it's fun. If things get boring, if things get routine, then guess what? Aries is going to flip and going to do something different. So, you know, sometimes you go, what are we even arguing about here? And you recognize the person just needed a little energy. And so what I would say is, if you find yourself getting into these arguments, you might there again, just take a step back and say, well, maybe this is just fun. Maybe this is just for the process of it. It's not really serious. But remember, too, that relationships benefit under the influence of Aries when both partners are willing to take responsibility for creating their own happiness. You know, instead of thinking, well, this person just isn't acting according to my expectations. So while Venus is in Aries, what we're going to do, this is my take, at least this initial part of it. And like I said, this is a two-step process. I think we're going to be reevaluating what makes us happy and what we want. I mean, in a more conscious, purposeful way, we're going to think about, you know, our strategies and our schemes and the situations or actions that look like a good idea, but maybe they didn't end up being what we wanted, or they didn't work out well. Maybe we really went full speed after someone or something, and then we're like, yeah, not so much. I just think we're going to rethink that stuff. We're also going to have, I think it's going to be a real balancing act of rethinking independence and being self-reliant. And not that we're not going to do that, because in fact, that's very Aries. You know, being impulsive and doing things alone. And, you know, you don't want to go, well, I'm going to go. Anybody that wants to follow me, see, to me, that's Aries also. You want to follow me, but I'm not staying. You know, I'll go it alone if I need to. But I also think, especially with this retrograde coming and the retrograde back into a sign like Pisces, I think what's going to happen is we're really going to start looking at things about, where are we the lone wolf? Where are we going it alone? Where is it so important for us to be self-reliant? And I'm not saying we're not going to do those things. I think we're just going to look at them in a different way. What is the price that we pay for being self-reliant and going it alone? And there again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be self-reliant, but you get what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we just so push for got to do this alone, got to have it, you know, my way. Well, what are the consequences of doing that? And maybe some of us are saying, you know, we need to do it more because we have gotten so codependent or overly dependent on a relationship or on a process or on the way something works. And we recognize that's what's really bringing discontent into our lives because we don't feel self-reliant. We don't feel like everything that we can make everything okay. So I think that's part of this process this time is we're really going to look at that equation of when do we ask for help and when do we not? Do we ask for help too much when we really ought to be self-reliant? Or are we never asking for help because we somehow see that as a deficiency or something? And we say, no, I want to be independent. I want to be productive. So overall, this Venus through Aries is going to bring us a lot of self-awareness if we're willing to use it and rethink things like self-discipline. Because there again, do we put ourselves into these routines with Aries, like it's got to be this way, we're going, that we literally jeopardize or limit our happiness, you know, and don't use discipline correctly. Or maybe we're not using discipline at all. And that same discipline could be the platform from which we can take off. We can fly. So there's so much that's going to be very, very positive in the next 3 to 4 months as Venus moves through Aries, backs up, moves through Aries again. And so we'll talk about these things. But just kind of consider that, that balance between being independent and doing everything yourself and having that engagement with other people. We're going to think a lot about that. And like I said, I have a lot of quotes. We can't get to them, but I'm going to touch upon some of them. Katharine Hepburn was born with, you know, Venus in Aries. And she says she's one of those people with the rules. If you obey all the rules, you miss all the fun. And, but here's another one, she says, everyone thought I was bold and fearless and even arrogant, but inside I was always quaking. Now, I think that's important too, because part of it is, it's a show. You know, it's the costume we wear. We march on stage and we're acting bold and fearless and independent, but inside that's not exactly it. Marilyn Monroe also had Venus in Aries. She says, I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure. I make mistakes. I'm out of control. At times, hard to handle. But if you can't handle me at my worst, then you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best. I love that from her. She too said, if I observed all the rules, I never would have gotten anywhere. Let's see who else we've got. Elizabeth Taylor. Now, for her, like she literally uses some of the words. She says, I'm a survivor, a living example of what people can go through and survive. She also said, I don't entirely approve of some of the things I've done or am or have been, but I'm me. God knows I'm me. Now, that sounds like Aries for sure. Charles Darwin had Venus in Aries. And he said, a man who dares to waste 1 hour of time has not discovered the value of life. And I think that's interesting, too. It almost made me tired hearing that, you know. Albert Einstein, Venus, Mercury, and Saturn in Aries. And here again, I love this one. I'd rather be an optimist and a fool than a pessimist and be right. So see, that's important too. Now I've got a lot more quotes. Maybe we'll use some of them next week or not next week. Well, maybe next week or in a few weeks when we talk more about Venus and particularly about her retrograde. But for now, go out there, charge forward and really think about, you know, creating excitement in your life, creating that inspiration in your life. So we're wrapping up the show. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for being in the chat room over on Facebook. I will go over there and read all of those comments. And just thanks for being here today. And thanks to Serena, our producer. I would encourage you to stay tuned because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, an always really significant and powerful powerful show. The quote for the week is this: if you always do what interests you, at least one person will be pleased. And I believe that that was Katharine Hepburn. This is CA signing out. You've been listening to Everyday Astrology with CA Brooks on 1-2 Radio. You'll find me on 1-2listen.com. Ask for a scheduled call or request a call back if you don't see me as available. We are changing the way we listen to the world by looking through the various lenses and being aware that we're looking through lenses. Have a great week, everybody.